Okay, let's make a start this morning. Welcome if you're in any church, welcome over in Lockhart this morning, and warm welcome to you if you're online, wherever you are around the state. Let me start with reading Psalm 93. And the psalm starts, "The Lord reigns." And given the chaos that exists in our world today, I'm always just struck again and again that the Lord reigns. He's over everything that is happening in our chaotic world at the moment. The Lord reigns. He's robed in majesty. The Lord is robed in majesty and is armed with strength. The world is firmly established and it cannot be moved because God's in control. Your throne was established long ago. You are from all eternity, says the psalmist. The seas have lifted up, O Lord. The seas have lifted up their voice. The seas have lifted up their pounding waves, mightier than the thunder of the great waters, mightier than the breakers of the sea. The Lord on high is mighty. The idea there is that this sea is just raging and raging. There's chaos and all sorts of things happening. And God still sits above over all that. Your statutes stand firm. Holiness adorns your house for endless days, O Lord. So we come together this morning to be reminded that the Lord reigns, that he alone is God, that he is in control over all things. We're going to do that this morning with a new song. It's a new song to many of us. It's from Psalm 96. So if you want to follow along in your Bibles, it's a great psalm because it reinforces again and again that the Lord reigns. He is the one who reigns over everything. So it's not in the songbook, but our friends at Wasilla have put Psalm 96 to music. It's a really easy tune. Hopefully you'll pick it up. And as we work through it, just listen again to the words. Let them sort of wash over you as you think about the Lord reigns. Psalm 96.
Oh, sing a new song. Oh, sing to the Lord. Oh, sing all the earth, his name be adored. Tell forth his salvation as day follows day. Among all the peoples his wonders display. For great is the Lord, most worthily praised. More awesome than gods the heathen have raised. The Lord made the heavens, so great is his might. Give him the glory, the praise to his name.
after a psalm like that, I'm going to lead us in prayer. Let's pray. Father, it is so good to know that in this world, which is sometimes chaotic and crazy, that you are the God who reigns. You are the God who rules over all, that you are the King and ruler of this universe. And Father, you call all people to bow down before you and give you the glory and the honor that is due to your name. And Father, that's what we come to do this morning. We come to give you the praise that is due your name. Father, we praise you for your awesome majesty and glory and splendor. We praise you for your strength. We praise you for your character. We praise you for your great love toward us. Father, you are an awesome God. Father, we know that in our world, so many people, they try to raise their own gods, but you are more awesome than the gods that anyone can ever create. And we praise you this morning that you are a relational God and that we can know you as the true God and ruler of all. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us each day to live lives, Father, that give you that glory and honor that is due to your name. Forgive us for the times when we want to steal it for ourselves. Father, we want to put our own names up in lights rather than putting your name up in lights. And we praise you this morning that because you reign, we can have confidence that you know what you are doing. Teach us to be patient. Teach us to trust. Forgive us for the times when we doubt your goodness and your plans. Father, we pray that like the psalmist, that we would tell forth your salvation day by day, that we would let people know that there is a God who reigns and rules for all eternity, and that they should look to him and join us in bowing down and worshiping him. We pray all these things this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Our first reading this morning comes from Hebrews 11, 32 to 40. If you're in the Henty Church, we're on page 1210. If you're in Lockhart, you're on page 852. Hebrews 11, 32 to 40. And Beryl's going to read it for us this morning. Thanks, Beryl.
No worries. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging, while still others were chained and put in prison. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, destitute, persecuted, and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks, Bill, for reading that. A few announcements this morning. The tree is still there. If you're in the Henty building, you know that, but we're getting to it. Next slide. So Tuesday at 7:30, Women's Bible Study. You can just log in for an hour. Amy's the person to see about that, and that's Tuesday, 7:30 for the ladies. For the men, we're still plodding through Jeremiah, which has been really valuable. Thursday, 7:30 again, just log on at 7:30. We have a great time looking at God's word together. That's for men. For our young people, we're working through Jonah, 6:30 to 8. You can see all the happy smiles on the left-hand side there. We have a heap of fun, and it's for kids in years 7 to 12, Friday, 6:30 to 8 p.m. Now, the good news is that the Farmers Camp is back, but it's going to be now online, which is great news. So Saturday, the 9th of October, 9 to 1, online, we'll send out the Zoom link. Grenville's the person to see for more details. But the good news is it's men and women. So if you want to log in and watch this year, that'd be great. Now, the two guys there, John Anderson, you probably remember him. He's deputy PM. He is great. I've heard John a number of times. And Steve Messer with his little guitar. They're going to be our speakers. We did this last year. It was great. And it'll be promises to be great again. So Saturday, the 9th of October, it'll come around very quickly, but that's one to put in your diaries. So if you've scheduled gardening or something like that, try and reschedule it, but you should be home and it should be a great time. So it's one for the diary as well. Okay, kids talk time. Come on down, kids. Okay, next slide, please, Amy. Okay, so this morning we're looking at David and his mighty men. Now, put your hand up if you've heard of David and his mighty men before. Okay, a couple, okay. David and his mighty men. So, next slide. Now, this is a bit of memory match. All we've got to do is we've got to work out the person with what they've done, and the matching is on color. Okay, so you got to match what they've done, who they are, with what they've done, and the match is on the color, and you get to pick my board. So, James, do you want to go first? Do you want to give me two numbers? Two and four. Okay, so we have Benaiah. Okay, Benaiah and understood the times. Now, is that color match, James? No. Okay. So cover that one back up. Thanks, Amy. All right, Caleb, do you want to have a pick of the numbers? Three and seven. Please, Amy, 3 and 7. Okay. So we have someone who was as swift as a gazelle, and we have someone who defended the field. So they're two things that they did. So I don't think they're actually a match. So do you want to cover those up for us, Amy? Okay, Charlotte, do you want to have a go? 1 and 9, please, Amy. Okay, number one, click it. There we go. So we have Jashobeam and we have Eliezer. Okay, so again, they're two people who did something, so that's not a match either. All right, James, would you like another go? 6 and 8. Oh, okay. So we've got someone who killed 300 men and someone who was skilled in both hands. That's not a match either. Okay. Caleb, back to you. 9 and 7. So we have Eliezer and yes, a match. Eliezer is one of David's mighty men and he defended a field of barley. He defended the barley patch. All right, Caleb, you get another go. 12 and 1. Okay, so we have the men of Issachar and we have Jashobeam. Not quite a match. Okay, Shiloh, your pick. 3 and 11, please, Amy. Oh, so we have someone as swift as a gazelle and someone who killed a lion. Not quite a match. All right, we're going to give the congregation a go. Someone from the congregation want to have a go? Troy, go for it. 2 and 11. Oh, Troy, look at that. Wow, Benaiah, he killed a lion. All right, Troy, you get another go. Tell Troy. Four and. Four and six. Let's try six. No, not quite. All right, James, you said to pick, so we'll go back to you. 10 and 12. Okay, we have some Gadites and we have some men of Issachar. No match. Caleb, your turn. 12 and 4? 12 and 4? We do. There we go. So the men of Issachar, we're told, they were people who understood the times in which they lived. That was a skill they had. You get another go, Caleb? Tick, tick, tick. 6 and 1. 6 and 1. Look at it again. Yep. Beautiful. So Jashabim, he was our man, and he killed 300 people, we're told, in one day. All right, Caleb, you want to roll here? Two to go. 3 and 5. No, not quite. Shiloh, your turn. 3 and 10. 3 and 10. Yes. Okay, so the Gadites are a tribe of people. They were as swift as a gazelle. In other words, they could move really, really fast. And that leaves, last two, please, Amy. The Benjamites, who were skilled with both hands. Okay. So we've got six people up there. We've got Jashabim, Benaiah, Eleazar, the Benjamites, the Gadites, and the men of Issachar, and they had different types of skills, we're told. Okay, and when they went into battle, they had different types of skills. Now, if you look up there, can you see anything interesting on the letters? Yes? That's right. One of the letters are a different. Yeah. That's right. The A is different. So let's pull out the letters. Next slide, please, Amy. So there are our letters that came out of it. Can you turn that into a word for us? It's a 2, 4, 6, 8 letter word. I'll give you a clue. It starts with F. Yes, Robert? It is. Very good. It is faithful. The reason that these men are in the Bible is because they were faithful. They did what was asked of them to do, and they would go into battle and they would defeat the enemies of God because they were faithful. Do we have a next slide, Amy? Next slide. No, okay, go back one. And the thing that we need to be reminded of is these guys were faithful, but it reminds us of someone else who was faithful in battle and who won a battle for us. Do you know who that might be? Who do you think? He did. Jesus, he was faithful in battle. And he, what enemy did he defeat? He defeated sin and death. Okay? And we get all the spoils of his victory. So it points us to Jesus, who was the faithful one for us. And that's why we try to be like Jesus. We try to be faithful, and sometimes we're not. But we try to be like our Savior, the Lord Jesus, who was faithful in every way. I'm going to pray for us. Heavenly Father, we do pray that you'd help us to be faithful. And we thank you for Jesus, the one who was faithful and the one who conquered sin and death for us. We pray in his name. Amen. Okay, next slide. All right, kids' church. Is Jamie hovering outside? No jam? Okay. All right. Okay, we'll see you guys at morning tea. Next slide. We're going to sing this wonderful old hymn. Obviously, in the church, you can't sing, so it's an opportunity to reflect and to think about the words. Be thou my vision. If you're on the songbook, we're on page number 3. Be thou my vision.
My vision, O Lord of my
You know, lead us in prayer this morning. Let's pray again. Father, we do pray that you would give us a greater sense of your majesty, a greater vision of who you are and how you want your people to live. And Father, we pray for times such as these, that you would give us the wisdom that we need to navigate life wisely. Father, we know that this virus is making life complicated. Father, every day we have to make choices. Sometimes those choices have consequences. And so we pray that you'd give us the wisdom that we need to make good decisions and right decisions. Father, help us as we interact in our world. Lord, we do pray for these times. We pray for a spread of the gospel. That, Lord, these times would bring more and more people to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray for a strengthening of your church, Father, as it adapts to various situations that are happening in our world. Father, we pray for those who have been impacted. We pray that your love and your comfort might be with them, that they might find strength and joy in knowing you, the one true and living God. Father, we do pray for those who rule over us. Father, that we know that there are difficult decisions to be made. And we pray for them too, that they would have the wisdom that they need. Father, help them to use the power that you have given them correctly. Father, you keep them from overreaching, but also, Lord, that you would help them to make sure that they are governing for all people through which you have put them over. We thank you that they are there because you put them there. We pray that you might remind them of that, that, Father, just as we are accountable to you, they are accountable to you for the position that you have placed them in. Father, we pray for each of us that we would indeed use this time wisely. Father, a number of things that we like to do, we cannot do. I mean, we do pray that you'd help us all to be growing in our faith, in understanding more about you and reading your word. Father, being reminded of your promises. Father, strengthen our faith. We pray for those who are doubting, that you might help them in their times of doubt. Father, and for those who are struggling, Father, you would give them your grace, which is sufficient for all things. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that you would indeed carry out your plans and your purposes. Father, sometimes we do not know what they are, but Father, we pray for your cause and your kingdom to come, and that your will would be done on earth as it is in heaven. We do pray that you would strengthen us to resist temptation, and that we might continue to trust you to provide all that we need. For we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Looking at 1 Chronicles chapter 11 and 12 this morning, but we're going to read 1 Chronicles 11 verses 10 to 25. So if you're in Henty, it's on page 415. If you're in the Lockhart Church, page 293. 1 Chronicles 11, 10 to 25. And Amy is going to read that for us this morning. Thanks, Amy.
These were the chiefs of David's mighty men. They, together with all Israel, gave his kingship strong support to extend it over the whole land, as the Lord had promised. This is the list of David's mighty men. Jashabim, a Hakmonite, was chief of the officers. He raised his spear against 300 men, whom he killed in one encounter. Next to him was Eleazar, son of Dodai, the Ahahite, one of the three mighty men. He was with David at Pas Damim when the Philistines gathered there for battle. At a place where there was a field full of barley, the troops fled from the Philistines. But they took their stand in the middle of the field. They defended it and struck the Philistines down, and the Lord brought about a great victory. Three of the 30 chiefs came down to David to the rock at the cave of Adullam, while a band of Philistines was encamped in the valley of Rephaim. At that time, David was in the stronghold, and the Philistine garrison was at Bethlehem. David longed for water and said, "Oh, that someone would get me a drink from the well near the gate of Bethlehem." So the three broke through the Philistine lines, drew water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem, and carried it back to David. But he refused to drink it. Instead, he poured it out before the Lord. "God forbid that I should do this," he said. "Should I drink the blood of these men who went at the risk of their lives?" Because they risked their lives to bring it back, David would not drink it. Such were the exploits of the three mighty men. Abishai, the brother of Joab, was chief of the three. He raised his spear against 300 men whom he killed, and so he became as famous as the three. He was doubly honored above the three and became their commander, even though he was not included among them. Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, was a valiant fighter from Kabzeel, who performed great exploits. He struck down two of Moab's best men. He also went into a pit on a snowy day and killed a lion. He struck down an Egyptian who was 7.5 feet tall. Although the Egyptian had a spear like a weaver's rod in his hand, Benaiah went against him with a club. He snatched the spear from the Egyptian's hand and killed him with his own spear. Such were the exploits of Benaiah, son of Jehoiada. He too was as famous as the three mighty men. He was held in greater honor than any of the 30, but he was not included among the three, and David put him in charge of his bodyguard.
Thanks, Amy. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, give us the wisdom and understanding that we need to see the relevance of this passage for us today. Father, they just seem like men of history, but Father, they are more than that, and they're recording your word for a reason. And so we pray you'd help us to understand that this morning. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Prussian king, Frederick the Great, he was widely known as an agnostic. By contrast, General von Zeeland, one of his most trusted officers, was a devout Christian. One day during a festive gathering, King Frederick began making crude jokes about Christ until everybody was rocking with laughter, except von Zeeland, that is. Finally, he arose and he said to the king, "Sir, you know I have not feared death. I have fought and won 38 battles for you. I am an old man. I shall soon have to go into the presence of one greater than you, the mighty God who saved me from my sin, the Lord Jesus Christ, whom you are blaspheming. I salute you, sir, as an old man who loves his Saviour on the edge of eternity." Well, the place went silent, and with a trembling voice, the king replied, "General von Zeeland, I beg your pardon. I beg your pardon." And with that, the party quietly ended. Von Zeeland was a man of immense courage who took a stand for the service of Christ, and God brought about a great rebuke. In 1 Chronicles 11, we meet some of David's mighty men, men used by God to do amazing things for God, men of courage and skill who were used by God for his purposes. And they serve as an example to us that in faithfulness, God can use us to accomplish his plans. Now, last week when we left off, we looked at how David became king over all Israel and how he went to work in setting up Jerusalem, the city of David. And you may remember that part of this is that Israel came together and they made David king. There's this unity expressed in this anointing as David is king. And we saw last week as well, David had to force the Jebusites who lived in Jebus. And Joab, son of Zeruiah, stepped up to take on the role of commander-in-chief. And he did a great job in his first outing. Now, when we get to verse 10 of chapter 11, we get a new section on David's mighty men. So in verse 10, we're told that these were the chiefs of David's mighty men. They, together with all Israel, they gave his kingship strong support to extend it over the whole land, as the Lord had promised. And this is the list of David's mighty men. Now, I'm going to have a look at some specific individuals in a minute, but if you go down to verse 26, you will see there a list of all these mighty men. And we look at that list, and they just look like a bunch of names. It's similar to those boards we have in our church, which list those who served in military service. Some of them we know, others we don't. But we acknowledge that what they did was valuable, that what they did was sacrificial. And it's the same with these mighty men. Now, the one name that does stand out in that list is verse 41, Uriah the Hittite. Now, you may remember he was the husband of Bathsheba, whom David committed adultery with. And then when David discovered that Bathsheba was pregnant, David became a murderer and he killed Uriah. Uriah, he was a faithful servant to David, and his name on that list shouldn't surprise us. But those reading Chronicles would have remembered that whole David-Bathsheba episode and remember David's repentance and God's grace to David. That a man such as David, who stuffed it up so badly, was used by God to do mighty things for the kingdom of God. Now, after listing all these men in chapter 11, in chapter 12, we read of this theme of total support for David's kingship. There's unity under King David. And there's also a clear chronological development through the chapter. So I'm just going to skim through chapter 12. Verse 1. These were the men who came to David at Ziklag while he was banished from their presence of Saul, son of Kish. And they were among the warriors who helped him in battle. Verse 8. Some Gadites defected to David and his stronghold in the desert. They were brave warriors, ready for battle and able to handle the shield and the spear. Verse 16. Other Benjamites and some men from Judah also came to David in the stronghold. Verse 19. Some of the men of the Manasseh defected to David when he went with the Philistines to fight against Saul. Verse 23. These are the numbers of men armed for battle who came to David at Hebron to turn Saul's kingdom over to him as the Lord had said. And then there's a summary in verse 38. All these were fighting men who volunteered to serve in the ranks, and they came to Hebron fully determined to make David king over all Israel. And the rest of the Israelites were also of one mind to make David king. So the picture we're supposed to walk away with is one of support for King David and their leader. Thousands from all these tribes were joining David in his quest, and they pledged their loyalty to David. Now, that's interesting, as it was the disloyalty of King Saul which disqualified both him and his descendants from establishing a royal dynasty. By stark contrast, David's loyalty to God, it propels him to the kingship. He gains the loyalty of the people of Israel. 12:22 says, day after day, men came to help David until he had a great army like the army of God. After all that David had been through, he'd been dodging Saul, he'd been negotiating with the Philistines, leading those who came to him, this was now a joyous time. And we're told in the last three verses of the chapter that supplies were aplenty, and David and his group ate and drank for 3 days. We understand why Amasai in chapter 12, verse 18 says, we are yours, O David. We're with you, O son of Jesse. Success, success to you, success to those who help you, for your God will help you. Indeed, David's success with these warriors, it wasn't down to them, it was down to God. David knew that he wasn't the leader or commander. That was God's job. His job was to be loyal and faithful to God. His job was to encourage the people to become loyal to God. And that's one of the critical points the chronicler makes again and again. After exile revolves around turning back to God, it involves serving him and being loyal to him. And if that happens, God's grace is still there. His promises still stand, but God's people need to return to him. So the question you need to ask is there anything special about these men? We know that they were loyal to David, and that was a big thing, but is there anything else about these men? Well, in some ways there is. Chapter 12, verse 2 tells us that they were armed with bows and were able to shoot arrows or sling stones both right-handed and left-handed. In 12 verse 8, we're told that they were brave warriors. They were ready for battle. They were able to handle shield and spear. Now, their faces were the faces of lions, and they were as swift as gazelles in the mountains. These men were armed. They were trained. They're ready for battle and service, and they're willing to step up and put that training to use. Some of them were very experienced, which proved invaluable. They were single-minded in purpose, and it showed. They weren't just physically prepared, though. They were also mentally prepared. 12:32, we're told that the men of Issachar understood the times and knew what Israel should do. They understood what was happening, and that's why they went to David rather than to Saul, because they understood the times. They understood that God was operating in Israel. And that should be a lesson for us as well as we serve our King, the Lord Jesus. Our loyalty is to him and to him alone. Our unity is with him. We're united together because of what the Lord Jesus has done. But an outworking of that is that we as God's people must be united and loyal to one another. Now, we're all different. We have different skills, different abilities. But God is able to use those when we focus on glorifying him and not ourselves. Let's have a look at a couple of case studies. First one is in verse 11. Jashobeam the Hachmonite, he's chief of the officers, and he raised his spear against 300 men whom he killed in one encounter. Now that's pretty impressive. 300 men in one encounter. And there's a second guy, verse 12. He was Eleazar, the son of Dodai, the Ahite, one of the three mighty men. Now, he's with David at Pasdamim, and the Philistines gathered there for battle at a place where there was a field full of barley. The troops fled from the Philistines, and they took their stand in the middle of the field, and they defended it and struck down the Philistines, and the Lord brought about a great victory. Eleazar's name means God has helped. And it certainly was God who helped Eleazar. Now, if you read the corresponding account in 2 Samuel 23, it says that Eleazar stood his ground and he struck down the Philistines till his hand grew tired and it actually froze to the sword. Serving God can be tiring, but God in his strength can bring about victory, as the last part of verse 14 tells us. Now, the thing I find really amazing about this guy was he was given the job of guarding the barley patch. He's trained. He's equipped for battle. He could be in a high position, such as being David's bodyguard. And here he was. Your job is to defend the barley patch. He was prepared to defend the land and the crops that belong to God's people. It wasn't the most glamorous job, let me tell you, but he did it in faithful service. That's the kind of people God's looking for. People who are prepared to be faithful in the little things rather than eyeing off the big things. Then we have Benaiah, son of Jehoiada. Verse 22, Benaiah, son of Jehoiada, is a valiant fighter from Kazbeel who performed all these great exploits. He struck down two of Baal's best men. He also went into a pit on a snowy day and he killed a lion. He struck down an Egyptian who had seven and a half feet tall. Although the Egyptian had a spear like a weaver's rod in his hand, Benaiah went against him with a club and he snatched the spear from the Egyptian hand and killed him with his own spear. This sounds a lot like David and Goliath, where someone small and brave takes on the big giant of a man. Now, according to what I could find, a weaver's rod weighed roughly about 8 kilograms, and it was 3.5 meters in length. Now, the idea here is that this is not an ordinary weapon. It takes someone who's highly muscular and big to carry it, let alone to actually throw the thing. Someone with a good shield who's trying to defend it probably wouldn't be able to stop it with its shield if it was coming at you. Now, if it was me, I'll be honest, I'd be doing a runner if someone came at me like that. Not Benaiah. He took his stand and he triumphed in the grace and strength of God. And then we have this particularly descriptive event with King David himself, and involves 3 of his 30 chiefs, the identity of which no one seems to really know about. Now, the scene is David's in the stronghold, and for whatever reason, he decided he needed a drink of water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem. And this is the rest of the story, verse 18. So the 3 broke through the Philistine lines. They drew water from the well near the gate of Bethlehem, and they carried it back to David. But he refused to drink it. Instead, he poured it out before the Lord. "God forbid that I should do this," he said. "Should I drink the blood of these men who went at the risk of their lives? Because they risked their lives to bring it back, David would not drink it. Such were the exploits of the 3 mighty men." Now, there's a lot of stuff being written about this story, but most of this kind of overinterprets the text. Because what's being highlighted here is the bravery of these Israelites involved and David's ability to inspire loyalty, and it was recognized as an act of worship. Now, the NIV says David poured it out before the Lord, but it should probably be better translated as to the Lord. David was simply showing how precious he considered his men who risked their lives, and how centrally he placed God in his own life. To David, the water at Bethlehem was the very blood of men who got it at the risk of their lives. He couldn't drink it. He had to give it to the Lord in worship. Such was his understanding of these men's actions and his place before Almighty God. So what does all this actually mean for us? Well, some of us might say, well, these guys did extreme things. And the temptation might be to say, well, you know, I can't be like that, or I'll never be like that. Well, this passage teaches us that we can, not because of who we are, but because of who God is. He's the one who gives us everything we need to do things for him. We just need to trust him. The other temptation is to say, well, yep, I'm going to be like these men and do radical and extreme things for God. And so what happens is we chase the extreme and the radical things rather than being faithful in the ordinary things of life. I think we all need to learn how to lay bricks before we become project managers. Now, while we don't know a lot of detail about the men in this passage, we do know that they were faithful, and God used that faithfulness, and their exploits were not overlooked. And so it will be with a much larger roster of valiant servants of Christ. Jesus said to everyone who perseveres by faith in Revelation 3:5, "He who overcomes will like them be dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the book of life, but will acknowledge his name before my Father and his angels." As we read in Hebrews this morning, many, the writer talks about, were commended for their faith, but they hadn't fully received what was promised. That was to come. So too for us. Our reward is to come. For we share in the reward of the faithful one, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the ultimate warrior. He destroyed the enemies of sin and death, something no man could ever do. He served faithfully and he was gloriously raised to life. And now he sits in heaven. He's the one we serve. So whatever you do each day, serve faithfully, doing it all for his glory. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for Jesus, our Savior, who served us so faithfully by giving up his life to die on a cross so that we can be forgiven and have eternal life with him. Father, we pray that you'd help us to be your faithful servants as we serve King Jesus. We pray that you would work in us and help us and strengthen us to be faithful in the little things and faithful in the big things. We thank you that your grace is sufficient when we stumble and fall, that we only need to look to you and you help us up. Please continue your work in our lives so that we may be your faithful servants and that you may accomplish your plans and purposes in and through us. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to close by singing the same song we started with. I think it's always helpful if you learn a new song to sing it again. You've sort of picked it up, so you can pick it up again more easily. So we're going to give it another go. Psalm 96.
Sing a new song, oh sing to the Lord, oh sing all the earth, his name be adored, tell forth his salvation as day follows day, among all the peoples his wonders display. For great is the Lord, most worthily praised, more awesome than
close. A couple of things for me. Thanks to Amy doing all the technical stuff this morning. If you're in the church, there's a box at the back if you'd like to make a contribution to the work of the Lord. If you're online, you want to give electronically, the details of how you can do that are in the email that Amy sent out. And we'll be back again hopefully next week in the same format, doing it again. Paul says, aim for perfection. Listen to my appeal. Be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. If you're in the Handy Church, we have morning tea over in the hall. Otherwise, go forth to love and serve the Lord. Amen.